The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, I have much more to tell you, but you cannot hear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak what he hears and will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. The Gospel of the Lord. Today we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Trinity. Three persons in one God. And I want to suggest, not so much to discuss the intricate processions of the Holy Trinity, the depth of theology in the Holy Trinity, but wonder with you what this means that we have a Trinity God. What does it mean to us in our journey of faith? The doctrine of the Trinity says there are three persons in one God. Infinite love makes the three persons one God. And therefore, the first great invitation we have is a supreme act of faith. That God's love is infinite. It's not that God loves, but that God is love. And therefore, there are no limits to the infinite love of God. Why would we doubt? Why would we put human restrictions on the infinite love of God? The challenge is that we have no human experience of infinite love. In the human experience of love, there are conditions, there are reservations, there are limits. Humanity makes it such. But the infinite love of God is without limit, given to each and every person to strengthen the person who believes. Listen to the gospel. It says, Jesus will send the Holy Spirit to confirm us in our faith. So let me look at this for a few moments and begin to wonder what it means to us as a church, as a people, as a family, as disciples of Jesus Christ. We baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. At the very end of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, Jesus tells his disciples, go out and preach to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We baptize in the name of the infinite love of the Trinity. We bless ourselves in Trinitarian form. We pray in Trinitarian form. It makes you wonder if we live the prayer and the baptism and the celebration, the manner in which we bless ourselves, do we live that way? Do we live the Trinity? Not, is it just a belief? Or is it something that means a concrete manner in which we live? That's what I'd like to discuss for a few moments. How to live the Trinity in our lives. Now, in the 17th chapter of John's Gospels, Here's what Jesus says, his last words at the Last Supper in the Gospel of John. I do not pray for them, for his disciples only. I pray also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you. I pray that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave to me, that they may be one, as we are one, I living in them, you living in me, that their unity may be complete, so that the world will know that you sent me. How will the world know that we belong to Jesus Christ? By our unity, that we may be one. Listen now to St. Paul, a much prayed and reflected passage from the second chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Philippians. Speaking of Christ, he said, though he was in the form of God, he did not deem equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself and took the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. He was known to be of human estate. It was thus that he humbled himself, obediently accepting even death on the cross. How will we become one? Let me speak about that. We all have a collective of beliefs. The church preaches about climate change. Is climate change a grave and urgent issue? Is it a moral issue? I think it is. We preach about the death penalty. Is one person's life more precious than another person's life? I think every life is precious. We need to take a second look at the manner in which we respond to people of color, minority people, homeless people, immigrant people. Are they part of the Trinity God? Are they part of the unity of the people of God? Should there be discussion, this is Pride Month? Should there be a respectable discussion about gay marriage? People who are born in this manner, should they be allowed to live in a bond of love? We have issues about the end of life, the sacredness of all life. We have issues about abortion, a toxic, painful, divisive issue in the present age. Keeping in mind that reliable statistics tell us that a large body of Catholics are in favor of Roe versus Wade. We can rant and rave all you want. I want to say, preach on Sunday and listen on Monday. And when I listen, this is what I hear. A divergence of belief among the people of God. The people who come here and pray every Sunday. The people of faith, the people of sincerity, the people of goodwill carry a divergence of belief in many critical issues. Do they belong? Are they still our family? Is there a place for them in the kingdom of God? They're not children to be disciplined. They're sincere adults searching for truth. Is it possible that differing in belief, we could come together, we could pray together, we could listen to one another's pain, struggle, fear, anxiety, confusion. We could listen to one another, anoint one another, figuratively wash the feet of one another, and say our prayer is for unity, not uniformity. Conversion happens through love, not through intimidation. Is it possible that as God's people, we could reverently and respectfully come together in faith and in prayer and listen deeply to one another? That's what it means to have unity. The prayer of Jesus, the example of Jesus given by St. Paul in his letter to Philippi. Is it possible, in the power of the Holy Spirit, that people who differ could still be in a bond of faith and love? Now, it's my practice to take all young couples that I am going to marry out to dinner. I don't deal with papers, I deal with people. Somebody else handles the paperwork. When I listen to these young people, they reflect their age. I ask them, is this what your age believes? And they say, yes, it is. Quite different than what I believe. And yet, they are my brothers, my sisters, they are my children, they are my family. And if they differ, do they still belong? The great prayer of St. Augustine, way back in the 5th century, writing in Latin, in essentialibus unitas, in dubiis libertas, sed in omnibus caritas, in essential things, let there be unity. In doubtful things, let there be freedom, but in all things, let there be love. Let there be love in all things. Makes me wonder, when I reflect on the Word of God, and I stand before you and proclaim what I believe is the Word of God, as a church leader, I wonder to myself, am I a master or am I a servant? Do I preach as a master, or do I preach as a servant? Do I preach as somebody who has all the answers, or somebody who is still led by the Spirit, looking for a deeper understanding of what it means to follow Jesus Christ? Thomas Merton, in 1958, completed the seven-story mountain, magnificent, long, difficult read, but magnificent journey of his life. And he entered the Trappist monastery in Gethsemane, Kentucky. And he writes this at the end of the book. Sit finis libri, non finis querendi. The end of the book, but not the end of the search. He'll still be asking questions. He'll still be searching. He'll still be calling on the Holy Spirit to lead him. So walk with me in the presence of a Trinity God, a God of infinite love. Can we be one family Or do we have to settle for judgment, dismissal, and division?